Chapter 1. The Stable Girl Shame. The straw was damp. It clung to Alara Dune's thin tunic, smelling of mildew and animal sweat. A splinter, sharp and sudden, dug deep into her palm. She didn't flinch. Pain was just normal. It was a dull, gray morning, the kind that promised nothing but more cold. Alara kept her head down, pitching hay into the last stall. Just survive unnoticed. That was the goal. To be invisible. Because visibility meant attention, and attention. Attention meant pain. She'd learned that lesson the day they dragged her mother into the square. Look at it, Lyra's voice, sharp as broken glass, cut through the morning hush. Alara's shoulders tightened. Ignore them. Shovel. Pitch. Her mother is rotting in a traitor's grave, and she's still here, stinking up the place, Sari's giggled. It was a wet, ugly sound. She's worthless. A walking curse. Alara gripped the pitchfork, her knuckles white. Don't look up. Don't speak. Don't give them the satisfaction. To be seen was to be judged. To be judged was to be broken. She would not break. She'd rather be despised than pitied, because pity was just cruelty wrapped in a softer blanket. She focused on the rhythm. Lift. Turn. Drop. The cold air burned her lungs. The ache in her back was a familiar friend. This life, this was all she had. Because of her mother. Because of a betrayal she didn't even understand. Hey, curse blood. Lyra kicked a bucket. Water and muck splattered Alara's legs. Maybe you should just follow your mother? The pack would be cleaner. Alara finally, looked up. Her eyes, the color of a winter storm, met Lyra's. She said nothing, but her silence screamed. It was a wall of pride, built from years of shame. Lyra, the coward that she was, took a step back. Then another Omega, a young one named Finn, skidded into the barn, breathless. He's coming. He's coming. Lyra sneered. Who? Your imaginary mate. No, the Alpha. Finn gasped, eyes wide with terror and awe. Alpha Kale. He's attending the burial. For Alara's mother. The pitchfork slipped from Alara's numb fingers. It hit the stone floor with a clang that echoed in the sudden, dead silence.
What?
Kale. The Alpha who had pronounced the sentence. The Alpha who hadn't spoken a single word to her in 5 years. He hated her mother. He hated her. Why would he go? It was a trick. A performance. A final, public, humiliation. Lyra's lip curled. Oh, the Alpha himself is coming to spit on the grave. This is going to be fun. Alara just stood there, the splinter in her hand throbbing. A cold, new dread, sharper than any splinter, pierced her heart. She had to go. She was forbidden, but she had to go. Chapter 2. The Alpha's Vow. Kale Draven stood on the ridge, overlooking the barren, unconsecrated ground. The funeral, if one could call it that, was a political necessity. A performance. His pack needed to see that betrayal was punished, even in death. Especially in death. He felt nothing. He'd trained himself to feel nothing. Emotion was weakness. Emotion was the rot that had killed his own mother. He remembered her, sometimes. In flashes he couldn't control. Her scent, like withered roses. Her hand, so pale, was wasting away because a male had rejected her. Love was destruction. Never again. Control was his shield. Control was his sword. Control was the only god he answered to. The air smelled of damp earth and coming snow. He despised this part of his duty. This display. But he had to be here, because the pack needed to see their alpha was stone. Unmoving. Unfeeling. And then, he saw her. Alara Dune.
A smudge of dirt and defiance standing at the edge of the trees.
She was forbidden. She was defying him. An irritation, hot and sharp, pricked at him. He moved, his long legs eating the distance. The few mourners, elders forced to attend, parted like water around a boulder. He stopped in front of her. She was taller than he remembered. And thinner. Her clothes were rags. But her chin, that, was up. You were forbidden. His voice was flat. Cold. The sound of winter itself. She is my mother, Alara replied. Her voice didn't tremble. It was quiet. Too quiet. It made something dark in his chest pull. He hated it. He hated her for making him feel it. He had to crush this. Now. He had to remind the pack what she was. What her blood meant. Kale looked at the drab pine box. Then he looked back at her. Your mother's blood is a stain on this pack. He saw her flinch, just a tiny flicker in her stormy eyes. He pressed on, his voice ringing out for all to hear. You are worthless to it. The words landed. Silence. The wind died. The world held its breath. And then it happened. His wolf, the beast he kept chained in iron, lunged against his ribs. A possessive, feral snarl ripped through his mind. Mine. Kale's blood turned to ice. What? He shoved the feeling down hard. Repressed it. Buried it under a mountain of cold duty. It was disgust. It was nothing. A trick of the air. He would not be his mother. He would not be ruled by an emotional, primal mistake. He had built his entire life on emotional repression. He was shaking, shaking, with the effort of holding the beast back. Ilara just stared at him, her face pale, but her eyes. Gods, her eyes were on fire. He couldn't be near her. Not for one more second. He turned on his heel. Get her out of here. He snarled the order to his beta, not looking back. He walked away, the ice reforming around his heart, thicker this time. That was all that mattered, wasn't it? Chapter 3. The Reluctant Intervention. The moment the alpha disappeared, the world returned. And it was full of teeth. Lyra was on her first. Worthless, she spat, shoving Ilara hard. You heard him. Worthless. Ilara stumbled, her boots slipping in the mud. Saris grabbed her arm. Someone else pulled her hair. They were on her, a pack of jackals, emboldened by the Alpha's decree. They kicked at her pride. They spat on her name. They tore at the last thread of her dignity. They shoved her down. The cold mud seeped through her tunic, stealing what little warmth she had left. Please, she whispered. Don't. It was the wrong thing to say. It was weak. And they loved weakness. Please. Lyra mocked, looming over her. Did the curse blood say please? She kicked dirt onto Ilara's face. Ilara squeezed her eyes shut. She wouldn't cry. She wouldn't. She just wanted them to leave. She wanted to disappear. She focused on the cold, on the sting, on anything but the humiliation. Was this it? Was this how she would end, in the mud, just like her mother? She'd rather be despised than pitted, but this was just too much. Then, the sound. A low rumbling. Growl. It wasn't Lyra. It wasn't Saris. It vibrated in the air. It rattled her bones. The Omegas froze. Ilara opened her eyes. Alpha Kale was back. He wasn't standing tall. He was crouched slightly. His hands were clenched into fists so tight his knuckles were white. His eyes weren't cold stone anymore. They were black. Pure, primal fury. Enough, he said. The word cracked like a whip. Lyra and the others scrambled back, fast. They looked terrified. Kale didn't look at them. He was staring, staring, right at Ilara. At the mud on her cheek. At the tear in her tunic. Ilara pushed herself up on her elbows. She was confused. Why? Why was he here? He hated her. He'd said it. This was a pity. He was pitying her. Rage, hotter than her shame, flooded her. I don't need your help. Alpha. She spat the title like it was poison. His expression shattered. The fury vanished, replaced by shock. Confusion. He looked, shaken. He stared at her for one long, agonizing second. He seemed like he wanted to say something. Then, his jaw snapped shut. Without another word, he spun around and stalked away. This time, he didn't look back. The Omegas were gone. Vanished. Ilara was alone. She slowly, painfully, got to her feet, shaking from cold and something else. Confusion. But later, much later, huddled in her tiny cot in the back of the stables, she felt it. A burn. She reached up, her fingers trembling, and touched her neck, just below her ear. It was hot. So hot. She fumbled for the small, cracked piece of mirror she kept hidden. She angled it in the sliver of moonlight. There, right on her skin, was a faint, glowing silver mark. It looked like a tiny, perfect crescent moon. She'd never seen it before. She rubbed it. It didn't go away. It pulsed, once, twice, a secret whispered against her skin. And Ilara Dune knew, with a cold, sinking dread, that her life would never, ever be the same. Chapter 4. The Lunar Choosing. The Great Hall stank. It smelled of pine, of roasting meat, and of desperation. Dozens of unmated females, preened and perfumed, watched Alpha Kale Draven. He stood by the ceremonial fire, stone-faced. His wolf, the beast he kept buried, was pacing. It hated these rituals. It hated the smell of their hope. Control. Control was everything. Because love was a disease. He'd seen it rot his mother from the inside out. He would not fall. His beta, Marcus, nodded toward Lyra. She was the obvious choice. Politic. Smart. Strong. His mind agreed. Choose her. End this. But his wolf, it was snarling. Not her. Never her. Find. Kale's eyes scanned the crowd. He was supposed to choose a ceremonial partner for the first moon dance. A formality. It meant nothing. So why did his blood feel like it was boiling? Then, because fate is a cruel, cruel monster, he saw her. Alara Dune. She was huddled in the deepest shadows by the kitchens, trying to be invisible. Trying to obey his order to stay away. But she was here. She was always here. In his head. Under his skin. And the mark on her neck. The one he'd felt at the funeral. It wasn't faint anymore. To his eyes, his alpha senses, it was blazing. A beacon. A brand of pure, silver light that screamed one impossible word. Mate. No. He shut his eyes. It was a lie. A trick of the goddess. A curse. She was a traitor's daughter. She was worthless. He opened his eyes. The wolf rose. It took over. Kale started walking. The music softened. The crowd parted. He saw Lyra smile, a hungry, triumphant look. He walked right past her. He passed every hopeful, gasping female. He didn't stop until he was standing in the shadows, standing right in front of her. Alara looked up at him. Her face was pale. Her storm gray eyes weren't just angry. They were terrified. Silence. Complete, deafening silence. He held out his hand. He didn't say a word. Alpha, Marcus whispered, his voice full of shock. Alara just stared at his hand like it was a snake. You. Kale's voice was a low growl. You will dance with me. It wasn't a request. It was a command. A raw, possessive order that came straight from the beast. He grabbed her hand and pulled. A collective gasp echoed through the hall. Alara stumbled into the firelight. Humiliated. Exposed. Chosen. Kale's wolf finally settled. Mine. And Alara looked at him with a pure, unadulterated hatred that burned hotter than the fire. Rumors started instantly. She'd bewitched him. She was a witch, a curse. He didn't care. He just pulled her onto the floor. Chapter 5. The Mark and the Lie. The second they were out of the Great Hall, Alara ripped her arm from his grasp. What was that? She hissed, her voice shaking with rage. She backed against the cold stone of his private study. He dragged her here, away from the whispers, away from the stairs. You bastard. Kale turned, his face a mask of cold control. But his hands, they were clenched. You will not speak to your alpha that way. My alpha, she laughed. It was a broken, ugly sound. Your alpha called me worthless this morning. He shamed me at my mother's grave. So what is this? What sick game are you playing? She was pacing now, like a caged animal. She was all sharp edges and burning fury. Is this part of the punishment? Humiliate the orphan? Show everyone how merciful you are by dancing with the filth? Is that it? Silence, he roared. The word shook the tapestries on the wall. No, Alara shouted back, jabbing a finger at him. You don't get to do that. You don't get to brand me in front of them, and then pretend you're king. They all hate me, and you just painted a target on my back. Kale slammed his fist onto his desk. The wood cracked. You think I wanted this? You think I chose this? You grabbed my hand. My wolf, it. He stopped. He couldn't say it. He wouldn't. Your wolf what? Alara stepped closer, her eyes searching his. What did you do? It wasn't me, he growled, cornered. He was losing control. He could smell her. She smelled of straw, and soap, and rain. It was maddening. It's the mark. The goddess. She made a mistake. Alara's blood ran cold. She slowly lifted a trembling hand to her neck. The mark? You saw it. Kale looked at her, his expression torn. He was an alpha. He was control. He was a liar. Because he was terrified. It's a faded mate mark, Alara, he whispered. The admission ripped out of him. She just stared. Then a look of profound pity crossed her face. Not for herself. For him. You poor, deluded fool, she said, her voice dripping with sarcasm. You think I'd be fated to you? The man who sentenced my mother? You'd have to be insane. That broke his control. He lunged, grabbing her wrist. Sparks. White hot, electric, agony. They both cried out. It's real, he snarled, yanking up his own sleeve. And there, on his wrist, was a matching crescent moon, black as pitch, burning against his skin. They stared at it, both of them breathing hard. Horrified. Knock. 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 The door burst open. Marcus, the beta, stood there, pale. He wasn't looking at them. He was holding a scroll. An ancient, crumbling, prophecy scroll. Alpha. Marcus stammered, his eyes wide with fear. We found it. The Elder's prophecy, about her bloodline. Chapter 6. The Beast Unchained. Kale hit the sparring post. Again. Thwack. The thick wood groaned. Sweat poured down his face. He was trying to beat it out. The rage. The confusion. The bond. It was a lie. A prophecy? A curse? The scroll was nonsense, rambling garbage about two bloods and a fate of fire. He refused to believe it. He would rule his blood. He would not let a girl, a weak, worthless Omega, destroy his control. Thwack. He was in the public training ring. He needed the eyes on him. He needed to be the alpha. Strong. Unwavering. He needed to erase the memory of the dance, because it had looked weak. He's going to break it, someone whispered from the stands. Good. He should. Alara was there. Of course she was. The elders, the damned council, had requested she attend. They wanted to see. To watch him reject her. She stood by the gate, arms wrapped around herself, looking small. He hated her for being there. He hated her for making him feel. Then, he arrived. Alpha Valerius's son. A sleek, arrogant brute from the east, here for treaty talks. He swaggered toward the stands, his eyes landing on Alara like she was a piece of meat. He leaned against the rail, pitching his voice for Kale to hear. Heard you like damaged goods, Draven. Kale's hands stopped. The visitor sneered. I'm surprised. I prefer my Omegas clean. How much for a turn with the traitor's filth? Silence. Alara flinched, a sharp, wounded intake of breath. And Kale broke. It wasn't a choice. It was an explosion. A red, hot fog. The last chain on his wolf, his leaking blood, snapped. Rhea. He didn't shift. Not fully. It was worse. His eyes went black. His teeth elongated. Claws, black and curved, ripped from his fingertips. He wasn't Kale. He was the beast. He crossed the 20-foot ring in one bound. He grabbed the visiting Alpha's son by the throat. Lifted him, off the ground. The man choked, his eyes bulging. He clawed at Kale's wrist. Mine. Mine. Mine too. Protect. Kale roared, a sound that wasn't wolf, wasn't man, but something ancient. He raised his other hand, claws ready to gut him. To tear him apart. No. Kale. Stop. Alara's voice. Her voice. It cut through the red fog like a knife. Kale froze. His hand, dripping, was inches from the man's face. He was shaking. Panting. The black receded from his eyes. He looked at his claws, looked at the terrified man. And then he looked at Alara. She was staring at him. Not with hate. With horror. He dropped the man, who collapsed, gagging. Kale had just lost control. In public. For her. He had just claimed her. High in the shadows, three old elders watched. One of them, a woman with eyes like chips of ice, nodded slowly. The prophecy, it's true, she rasped. She is the catalyst. She must be removed. Chapter 7. The Gilded Cage. The door clicked shut. Final. Alara stared at the heavy oak. This wasn't protection. This was a prison. A very nice prison. Kale's alpha quarters were huge. A massive fireplace dominated one wall, roaring with a heat that didn't touch the ice in her bones. Furs, thick and white, were tossed over dark leather chairs. It smelled of old books and him. Pine and cold, clean air. It was suffocating. It is for your own safety, Kale said. His voice came from the other side of the room. He was standing by a window, staring out at the snow. He wouldn't look at her. Coward. My safety. Ilara's voice was dangerously quiet. Or yours. Are you afraid your pet will run away? Or are you afraid someone will take it? He turned. Slowly. His face was a mask of stone. But his eyes. Gods, his eyes were tired. He looked guilty. The council is unsettled, he said, dodging the question. Valerius's son has demanded payment for the assault. The assault you committed, she shot back. The assault, triggered by you, he countered. The air crackled. They see you as a weakness. A catalyst. They think you are making me unstable. Am I? She whispered, stepping closer. She couldn't help it. It was like poking a sleeping bear. Am I making you unstable, Alpha? Kale's jaw tightened. He took a step back. He's afraid. The realization hit her like a punch. The big, bad Alpha was afraid of her. You bring out the beast, he admitted, his voice a low rasp. My leak inside, it listens to you. It answers you. It hasn't done that, ever. This was new. This was a crack in the armor. Ilara felt a strange, dangerous pull. She was trapped in this room with him. Alone. The pack, the world, was outside. In here, it was just them. Just this thing, humming in the air between them. This awful, magnetic bond. So you lock me in here, she said, her anger fading into a hollow ache. Like a dog. I lock you in here, so I know where you are, he snarled, suddenly right in front of her. He hadn't moved. He'd just appeared. So I know you're not in a ditch. So I know the elders haven't handled you. His closeness was overwhelming. He was so warm. The heat radiated off him, and her cold skin ached for it. He was breathing hard. You have no idea what is happening. Then tell me, she pleaded. Tell me about the prophecy. Tell me why you, why we. Kale looked down at her, his black eyes searching her face. He saw the desperation. He saw the fear. And his expression, it softened. Just for a second. I can't, he whispered. He reached out, his hand trembling, and his thumb, brushed the mud stain on her cheek from the funeral. A jolt, white hot, shot through her. He snatched his hand back like he'd been burned. Grrrr. It wasn't him. It was deep, deep in his chest. A low, possessive rumble. His leak inside, awaking. And it was purring. He looked horrified. He turned and strode to the door. You'll stay. You'll be safe. He left, locking the door from the outside. Ilara was alone. She sank onto the furs. Trapped. Safe. And, for the first time, utterly, terrifyingly, seen. Chapter 8. The Breaking Point. 3 days. 72 hours. She had counted every single minute. Kale kept her fed. He sent in a nervous Omega girl with trays of food, food Ilara never touched. She just sat. She watched the fire die. She watched the snow fall. This was worse than the stables. Because this cage was built from his guilt. On the fourth night, the lock scraped. Kale entered. And he was not right. He was pale, too pale. A sheen of cold sweat covered his face. He was leaning against the doorframe, his breath coming in short, sharp gasps. Alpha. The word was out before she could stop it. Get back, he growled. But his voice was weak. Strained. He was hurt. He stumbled into the room, collapsing into one of the big leather chairs. He clutched his side. Blood. Dark, dark blood was seeping between his fingers. It stained his black tunic. Who did this? Ilara was on her feet, moving toward him. Stay away, he ordered. The beast, it's close. You're bleeding. She was in front of him now. She didn't care about the beast. She cared. Gods, she cared. Let me see. It was an ambush, he choked out. Rogues. By the southern border. Rogues don't use silver, Ilara said, her eyes narrowing on the wound. She knew silver. She'd seen what it did. She gently, so gently, pulled his hand away. He let her. He hissed as the air hit it. It was a deep, jagged gash. And it was bubbling. The edges were black. Poison. This wasn't rogues, Kale, she whispered. This was Pack. This was elders. His eyes met hers. He knew. The water basin. He rasped. Towels. She ran. She brought the supplies. She knelt at his feet. Her hands, the hands that shoveled muck, were steady. She soaked a cloth. This is going to hurt, she said. I know. She pressed the cloth to the wound. Kale roared. It wasn't a word. It was pure, primal pain. He grabbed her wrist. His claws, the lichen claws, shot out, digging into her skin, breaking it. But Alara didn't pull away. She just held on. It's okay, she whispered. I'm here. It's okay. Let it out. He stared at her, his eyes black, the beast looking out. He saw her, not flinching. He saw her, bleeding for him. And the beast retreated. The claws shrank. His grip loosened. He was just Kale. Panting. Shaking. Vulnerable. She cleaned the wound. The black blood stank. It's in you. She murmured, terrified. The silver, the poison. I can't. I can't stop it. I know, he said. His voice was dying. No, she said. Fierce. No. You don't get to die. You owe me. He tried to laugh. It came out as a cough. They were close. So close. His head lolled forward. His forehead rested against hers. She could feel his last breaths on her lips. Alara, he whispered. Her heart broke. She leaned in. He leaned up. Their lips brushed. A bare, soft ghost of a touch. It wasn't a kiss. It was a question. Sparks. And then he gasped. A wet, rattling sound. His eyes rolled back. He slumped forward, unconscious, dying, in her arms. No. Alara frantically checked his pulse. Faint. Thready. No. 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 A memory. Her mother. A hidden box. A book. Forbidden magic. If fate demands blood, she whispered, her eyes wild, it can't have yours. Chapter 9. The Traitor's Magic. Panic. Cold. Sharp. Alara dragged him. Gods, he was heavy. She grunted, pulled, her muscles screaming. She got him onto the furs, in front of the fire. He was so cold. His skin was gray. The poison, it was fast. She was alone. She couldn't call the beta. Marcus, he could be part of it. She couldn't call the healers. They answered to the elders. She was all he had. Think, Alara, think. Her mother's voice. A story. A secret. They call it a curse, my little moon. But it is a gift. Our blood, it remembers. What does it remember, Mama? It remembers life. Alara scrambled to her feet. She ran to the door. Locked. Of course. She looked at the heavy iron poker by the fireplace. Yes. She jammed it into the lock mechanism. Pushed. Twisted. Pulled. Nothing. Open, damn you, she screamed, adrenaline surging. She slammed her shoulder into it. Again. Again. The old wood cracked. The lock splintered. The door flew open. She was out. She didn't run. She flew. Down the silent Alpha's hall, past the sleeping guards, she didn't care. She ran home. To the stables. To the one place that was hers. She ripped up the loose floorboard under her cot. The one that always wobbled. There it was. A small wooden box. Her mother's only legacy. She grabbed it. Ran back. Her lungs were on fire. She burst back into the room. Kale. He wasn't breathing. No. 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 She fell to her knees beside him. Her hands, shaking, fumbled with the clasp. Inside, a small, leather-bound book. And a knife. Obsidian. Sharp as a star. She opened the book. The pages were blank. What? No. Please. She sobbed. She touched the page. A drop of her blood, from where Kale's claws had cut her wrist, fell onto the parchment. Light. Silver script. Glowing. Crawled across the page. Words. Ancient words. Appeared. Quad est. Quad erat. Sanguis ad. Sanguinum. Blood to blood. A trade, she whispered, her eyes wide with horrified understanding. The magic, it requires a trade. She looked at the obsidian knife. She looked at Kale's, still, chest.
You saved me, at the funeral, she whispered to his pale face.
You saw me, when no one else would. He was a monster. He was her tormentor. He was her mate. And he was dying. She took the knife.
If fate demands a life, she said, her voice breaking.
It can't be yours.
She pressed the flat of the blade to her own arm.
Not to kill. To give.
She closed her eyes.
Sanguis ad sanguinem.
She chanted, the forgotten words feeling right on her tongue.
She drew the blade. Pain. Sharp. Hot. Her blood, welled up.
She pressed her bleeding arm onto his poisoned wound.
Skin to skin, blood to blood.
She poured her life, her magic, into him.
The room exploded with silver light.
It threw her back against the wall.
Kale. Gasp head.
A huge, shuddering breath.
His eyes flew open. He sat up, roaring.
Not in pain. In power. The black poison, steamed, vanished from his wound. His skin, flushed with life.
He looked divine. And then he dreamed. He saw her mother. His mother. He saw a vow made in moonlight. He saw his own father handing a bag of silver to an assassin. He saw everything.
He looked at Alara, who was slumped by the wall, bleeding, weak.
And he knew.
You saved me, he breathed.
I.
She whispered and then fainted.
He was alive.
And she was not a curse.
She was his salvation. Chapter 10. The Scent of Betrayal.
Kale was alive. And the world was sharp. He sat at his desk, the haze of poison gone, replaced by a terrifying, electric clarity.
His senses were wider. He could hear the snowfall outside the stone walls.
He could smell the fear on the guards two halls away.
Because of her.
Because of Alara's magic.
She was no longer his prisoner.
She stood opposite him, her bloody arm wrapped in clean linen.
She was his investigator. They weren't rogues, he stated. It wasn't a question.
Alara shook her head, her eyes fixed on the items he'd had brought. The torn piece of his tunic, the knife they'd pulled from the snow.
The poison, it was nightshade. But more. It was bound with silver nitrate. Only the pack healers, or the elders, would know that formula.
She picked up the blade, her fingers tracing the blackened metal.
This wasn't meant to hurt you, Kale.
It was meant to end you.
He watched her. He watched the way her mind worked.
She wasn't just surviving anymore.
She was thinking, hunting. She was intelligent. And,
gods, she was beautiful when she was angry. A strange pride uncurled in his chest.
He'd never trusted anyone. Not ever.
But he trusted her.
They wanted you to die, she whispered, looking up. Her storm gray eyes were full of fury.
For him.
Why?
Because of you, he said, the truth tasting like ash.
You broke my control. You woke the Leakin.
They're afraid of what that means.
They're afraid of me. No, Kale stood, moved, around the desk. He stopped, just an inch from her. He could feel the heat coming off her skin.
They're afraid of us. Alara's breath hitched.
Us.
Kale pointed to the torn piece of his tunic, the one the assassin had grabbed.
There, look.
A thread.
Caught in the leather.
It wasn't from his clothes.
It was dark blue.
The Beta's guard, Alara breathed.
Marcus's men.
Kale's world tilted.
Marcus? His friend? No. Kale growled. He wouldn't.
He couldn't.
He brought you the scroll, Kale, Alara said, her voice gentle, too gentle. He told you about the prophecy. He's been guiding you.
Guiding me where? Alara picked up the obsidian knife she'd used, the one from her mother's box.
She slid it under the hilt guard of the assassin's dagger. A click. A tiny, hidden compartment.
Inside was not a note.
It was a coin. An old, silver coin. Kale knew that coin.
It bore his father's crest.
Alara looked at him, her face pale.
Kale, this isn't about us.
This is older.
A cold dread, far colder than the poison, seeped into his bones.
His father, his Beta, and her mother's death. It was all connected. Chapter 11.
the sins of the father.
Kale was gone. He'd taken the coin. He'd looked broken. He'd left her, gone to a council meeting.
An emergency meeting. About her. Ilara was alone again.
But not in her prison room.
She was in a study.
His scent, pine and snow, was everywhere. It wrapped around her.
It comforted her.
It called to her. Her magic, her mother's magic, was humming.
It was alive. It wasn't just in her.
It was aware. It pulled her, not to her mother's book, but to his room. To the massive, carved oak desk that had belonged to his father. The old Alpha. She ran her fingers over the wood. Cold. No, not cold. There. A knot in the wood. It felt like her mark. She pressed her hand to it, the hand with the healing cut. Click. A hidden drawer groaned open. It was dusty. Untouched. Because Kale, he hated his father. He never came in here. Inside, a ledger. A thick leather account book. Her hands were shaking. Don't look. She opened it. Page after page of pack accounts. Grain. Steel. Bounties. And then she saw it. 5 years ago. Payment final. To an assassin. A name she knew. 4. Services rendered. Target, Alina Dune. Her mother. The air left her lungs. She fell to her knees. No. 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 It wasn't a betrayal. It was an execution. Ordered. Paid for. By his father. Kale's father. Murdered her mother. A sob ripped out of her. A sound of breaking. Why? And then she saw it. Under the ledger. The scroll. The prophecy. Not the piece. Marcus had shown them. The whole thing. She unrolled it. Her eyes, blurred with tears, scanned the ancient silver script. The magic, her magic, read it, for her. It spoke of the two bloodlines, of the Lycan and the Light, of the fated mate bond that would either unite the pack or destroy it. And then the last line, the part they hid. The bond demands its price. Two hearts as one. But should the true love bloom, fate will demand a life. One must die so the other may live. It wasn't a blessing. It was a choice. A death sentence. Her or Kale. Love was the trigger. Her saving him. Her feeling for him, caring for him. She had doomed them. No, she threw the scroll. She scrambled up. She had to run. She had to leave him. Because she loved him. And because she loved him. One of them had to die. Chapter 12. The Beast of Grief. He felt it. Kale was, mid-sentence, roaring at the elders, defending her, protecting her, when ice. A blade of pure agony slammed through the bond. It wasn't physical. It was soul deep. Betrayal. Grief. Hate. No. Not hate. Heartbreak. Ilara. No, he whispered. Then the elders stopped. They stared. Kale ran. He didn't excuse himself. He shoved Marcus aside. He flew down the halls. His halls. No. 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 Please. He smelled it. Her fear. Her panic. Her scent fading. He burst into his father's study. Empty. The room was empty. No. Not empty. The ledger was on the floor. Open. To that page. His father's sin. And the scroll. The full, damned prophecy. He saw the last line. One must die. No. He felt her. Running. Fleeing. South. Towards the border. She was leaving him. rejecting him. Two, to save him. Ilara. He roared her name. And something inside his chest snapped. The man vanished. The alpha dissolved. The pain, the loss, the fear, it fed the beast. His claws shot out. Black. Curved. His teeth elongated. His eyes went black. Mine. She is mine. She can't leave. Mine. He leapt from the window. Two stories down. He landed on the cobblestones. Not a wolf. Not a man. He was Leakin. A monster of grief. He ran. He hunted. He didn't see the pack. He didn't see anything. Only her. He lost control. And far ahead at the border. As Ilara sobbed as she ran from the man she loved. Three hooded figures stepped out of the trees. The elders. The abomination. One rasped. It runs. Stop her. They raised their hands. Ilara never saw them. She fell into a net of silver. And Kale, miles away, stopped. He couldn't feel her anymore. Silence. Chapter 13. The Leakin's Vow. The silence, her silence, was a void. It was a cold, black hole where her fear, her life, should have been. Kale's Leakin's side didn't just rage. It focused. The red fog of grief had cleared, leaving behind a sharp, lethal purpose. Save her. He knew where they had taken her. The old northern fortress. A place of stone and secrets where his father used to conduct his darkest business. He ran. His feet didn't pound the snow, they devoured it. He was a black shadow moving through the trees, faster than any wolf, stronger than any man. This wasn't weakness. This wasn't the loss of control he had feared his entire life. This was power. It was love, not as a sickness, but as an anchor. A terrible, white-hot gravity that pulled his entire being toward her. He reached the fortress. The scent of her fear was stale, but under it, he smelled the ozone burn of elder magic and the sharp, acidic tang of silver. They dared. Two guards stood at the gate. They raised their spears. Halt! The Alpha. Kale moved. He wasn't the Alpha. He was a storm. He was a blur of black claws and burning, desperate need. He didn't kill them. He disarmed them. Permanently. One went flying into a snowbank. The other crumpled, his spear, snapped, in Kale's hand. He didn't use the door. He used the wall. He found the dungeon. The air was thick with mildew and her. He smelled her blood, the coppery tang of it where the silver net had burned her skin. The beast roared. Ilara. He heard her gasp, faint, from behind a heavy iron door. He didn't bother with the lock. He wrapped his black claws around the bars, pulled. The metal screamed. It groaned. His muscles tore and healed in the same instant. Agony. He didn't care. The hinges snapped. The iron door flew across the hall, crashing into the far wall. And then he felt it. A searing, agonizing burn on his wrist. The curse mark. It was flaring. Pulsing. It felt hungry. Time was running out. He plunged into the darkness. Chapter 14. The Price of Strength. Cold. So cold. Ilara was chained to the wall. The links weren't iron. They were silver. They sizzled against her skin, a constant, low burn that sapped her strength, sapped her magic. The abomination must be cleansed, a dry voice rasped. Three elders stood in the torchlight. Their faces were ancient, wrinkled like dried apples. Their eyes cold, like chips of ice. He will come for me, Ilara whispered. Her lips were cracked. Kale, he will kill you all. The beast will be handled, the lead elder said. The pack must be pure. Pure. A new voice, smooth, familiar, echoed from the shadows. The pack must be strong. Marcus. Kale's beta stepped into the light. He looked calm. Marcus, please. Ilara sagged against her chains. You have to help me. The elders, they tricked us. Marcus just looked at her, his face empty. No, Alara. You tricked him. Her blood froze. You knew she breathed. Though the ambush, that was you. It was necessary, Marcus said, his voice flat. He was becoming weak. Like his mother. His mother died of a broken heart. She died because she was foolish. Marcus snarled. And Kale's father, he knew strength. He knew your bloodline was a poison waiting to happen. He didn't just find the prophecy girl. He made it. Alara stopped breathing. What? He paid a blood witch to curse your line, to bind your magic to the Lycan blood, to ensure that if a fated mate bond ever happened, it would destroy the Alpha. Your mother knew. She ran. And he hunted her. He murdered her, Alara whispered, the tears burning her cold cheeks. He protected this pack, Marcus corrected. And I will finish what he started. I will not let a worthless Omega break this Alpha with love. Boom. The entire fortress shook. Marcus spun around, his calm shattering. Crash. A roar. A sound that tore the air. Kale stood in the ruined doorway. He wasn't the Alpha. He was a god of rage. He looked at her. Chained. Burning. And then he looked at Marcus. You. Kale's voice was not human. Touched what was mine. Chapter 15. The ritual ground. The world ended. Kale moved. The elders chanted. They threw silver dust. It hit his skin. It sizzled. Smoke rose from his arms. He didn't stop. He backhanded the first elder. The sound was sickening. He grabbed Marcus by the throat, slammed him against the stone wall. The beta crumpled, gagging. Kale didn't kill him. He didn't care about him. He cared about her. He ran to Alara. He grabbed the silver chains. Hisses. His own flesh burned. The smell of seared skin filled the air. He roared in agony. But he didn't let go. He pulled. The stone cracked. The bolts screamed. The chains broke. Alara fell. He caught her. He held her against his bleeding chest. Kale. She sobbed into his skin. He said, your father. I know. His voice, a broken growl. He told you? The curse? The price. One must die. She cried. Kale, you have to run. Leave me. Please save yourself. He looked down at her. This woman. This survivor. This warrior who he had called worthless. He knew what to do. No, he whispered. There is one way. The curse triggers on love. So, I will break it. How? He closed his eyes. The words tore his soul. I will formally reject you. Now, he would save her. Even if it killed him. Alara stopped crying. She pulled back. Her hand shot up. Slap. It cracked across his face. No, she hissed. Her eyes were not sad. They were fire. You coward. You think that's strength? Running? My mother ran. Your father hunted her. No more running. She grabbed his face. Her burned hands cupped his cheeks. I love you, she said, her voice ringing with power. I choose this. I choose you. Curse or no curse. Her strength shattered his fear. She was right. He crashed his lips down on hers. It was not a kiss.
It was an oath.
Pain, blood, magic, salt, love. The curse marks on both of them exploded with agonizing white light. He tore his mouth from hers. The ritual ground, he gasped, pulling her up. We face the moon. Goddess. Now, together. Chapter 16. The Hunt of the Blood Moon. The ritual ground was silent.
A flat, ancient stone altar sat in a clearing, surrounded by a ring of pale, leafless trees. Above, the moon was not silver. It was a weeping, angry, blood-red eye. It stared down at them. It judged them.
Kale.
Alara whispered, her hand clutching his.
His was burning. She looked at her own arm. The crescent mark on her neck, it wasn't silver. It was glowing, a sick, feverish red, pulsing in time with his. The curse, it was active. It was here.
I feel it.
Kale gasped. He fell to one knee.
His broad shoulders were shaking.
It's pulling.
Kale, fight it, she pleaded, dropping to her knees beside him.
I love you. He choked out, his eyes, looking at her with a desperate, heartbreaking love.
Alara, run.
No,
I will not leave you.
Run, he roared.
And the sound changed.
It cracked.
It deepened. It became a snarl that was not human. His body arched.
Crack.
His bones snapped. Alara scrambled back, a scream in her throat.
His shoulders, dislocated and reformed, wider.
Bigger.
Black, oily, fur exploded from his skin.
His face, elongated.
It tore, apart, into a snout.
Not a wolf.
It was wrong. It was a monster. All claws and shadow and rage. It stood 10 feet tall.
Its eyes were not Kale's.
They were gone. Replaced by two empty red holes.
It sniffed the air.
Kale, she whispered. It didn't look at her.
It turned.
Marcus, his beta, had followed them. He stood at the edge of the clearing, bleeding, broken. The beast saw him.
It moved.
It was too fast. A blur of fury.
It hit Marcus.
It tore at him.
Alara screamed.
No, Kale.
Stop.
He's
yours.
The monster didn't care. It was lost. It was pure curse.
It finished with Marcus.
And then it turned. It looked at her.
It stalked forward.
Slowly. It didn't know her. She was next. Her hand flew to the hidden sheath on her thigh. The obsidian knife. Her mother's legacy. She pulled it free. Her hand was shaking.
Kale,
she sobbed.
Please don't make me.
Chapter 17. The Price of Salvation.
The Beast.
Kale continued its slow, measured approach.
It snarled.
A low, wet growl that vibrated in her chest. He was hunting her. The man was gone. The alpha gone. All that remained was the curse. An empty vessel of hunger and rage.
Alara held the obsidian blade, her knuckles white.
She could fight. She could run. Her mother had run. But running was what fed this curse. Fear was what gave it power. She looked into its empty red eyes.
I am not afraid of you, she whispered.
The beast paused. It tilted its massive head.
It was confused.
She was not acting like prey.
I see you, Kale, she continued, her voice shaking but gaining strength.
The man who saw me.
The
alpha who protected me. The fool who thought he could reject me.
A small smile touched her lips.
Tears streamed down her face.
The prophecy.
She said taking one small step forward. It said, one must die. It never said who. It never said how. It was always a choice. She looked at the blade. She could never hurt him. Ever. She understood. Her entire life had led to this. This moment. She wasn't worthless. She was not a curse. She was the key. She was salvation. She looked at the monster, who was her mate. I love you, she said, her voice clear and true, ringing in the blood-red light. He roared, lunging at her. If fate demands blood, she screamed over his roar. She turned the obsidian blade around. Take mine. And as he reached for her, she plunged the ancient magic knife deep into her own heart. Chapter 18. The Weeping Moon. Agony. The second the obsidian pierced her skin, it was not Ilara who screamed. It was Kale. The beast recoiled as if struck by lightning. A shockwave of pure, blinding silver light exploded from Ilara's chest. It slammed into the monster. It wasn't a gentle magic. It was violent, cleansing, excruciating. Kale felt the curse burn. He felt his bones shatter and remake. The black fur dissolved into smoke. The claws cracked and retracted painfully. He fell hard onto the frozen earth. Human, naked, gasping. His mind slammed back into his body. He was back. He was himself. Ilara, he croaked. He looked up. She was standing. Just standing. The knife deep in her chest. The red moonlight shining on her pale face. She looked at him. And she smiled. A faint, beautiful smile. I told you. She whispered. No. More running. And then she fell. No. He screamed. He scrambled, crawled, tore his hands on the ice to get to her. He reached her just as she hit the ground. He pulled her into his lap. No. No. Please. Ilara, no. He begged, his voice breaking. You can't, you can't. She coughed. Blood flecked her lips. It's broken. Kale. I can heal you. The bond, my wolf. He reached inside himself. For the alpha. For the wolf. For the Lycan. Nothing. Silence. Empty. The magic. Her sacrifice. It didn't just break the curse. It killed his wolf. His power, his Lycan, his soul, it was gone. Dead. He was just a man. No, he sobbed. No. 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 It's okay. Ilara whispered, her hand weakly touching his cheek. You are free. Her hand fell. Her eyes closed. Ilara. Ilara. Silence. Kale threw his head back. And he screamed. A raw human sound of pure, agonizing loss. All was lost. High above, the blood-red moon shone down. And as he wept, clutching her body, a single drop of silver light like a tear fell from the moon and landed on her. Chapter 19. The Awakening. He was just a man. The power, the rage, the beast, all of it was gone. Sucked out of him, leaving a hollow, agonizing void. Kale knelt in the frozen clearing, his body human, his soul shattered. He clutched Alara's body. She was so light, so still. The monster was gone, but it had taken everything. He was alone. He had won nothing. He had only lost. No, he whispered. The word was a puff of steam in the cold. It was a plea, a denial. It was useless. That single drop of silver moonlight, the one that had fallen from the weeping moon, rested on her forehead. It shone. It didn't melt. It didn't fade. It just stayed. And in the deepest, most broken part of his mind, he felt a thought. It wasn't his. It was vast and cold and ancient. Her love rewrote your fate. Kale looked down at her face, so pale, so peaceful. Her sacrifice, it wasn't just an act. It was a choice. She hadn't died from the curse. She had died to break it. She had died to save him. Not his body. His soul. A new, terrible resolve settled over his grief. He would not let this be in vain. He gently, so gently, brushed the hair from her face. With a trembling human hand, he reached out and closed her eyes. The moment his fingers touched her skin, the light exploded. It wasn't a flash. It poured out of her. A blinding, pure, silver shroud, enveloping her. Kale fell back, shielding his eyes. It was beautiful. It was terrifying. It wasn't magic. It was divine. He reached out, his hand shaking. His fingers didn't touch her. They passed through the shroud. She was not there. The light lifted. It broke apart into thousands of tiny stars, motes of pure essence. They rose into the night air. They danced, and then they vanished. He was alone. He knelt where she had been. Her body was gone. The light was gone. All that remained on the frozen altar was the obsidian knife. Perfectly clean. Chapter 20. The Alpha of Man. Weeks or months passed. Kale didn't know. The world was gray, muted. He was human. He was empty, but he was not broken. He was focused. He walked back into his pack. They gathered in the great hall. The remaining elders. A scarred, broken Marcus. They smelled him. They knew. The beast is gone, one. Elder rasped, stepping forward. Fear had been replaced by arrogance. He is just a man. Seize him. Two guards moved. Kale didn't flinch. He didn't move. He looked at them. His eyes not. Leaken, black, but human, gray. Cold as winter, stone. Empty of fear. I am just a man, Kale said. His voice cut through the hall. Clear. Human. Powerful. A man who saw the truth. A truth you hid. A truth my father wrote in blood. A curse he paid for. He told them everything. He told them of Alina Dune. Of the Blood Witch. Of Alara. Of her sacrifice. The pack was silent. Stunned. We were led by fear, Kale said, walking forward. The guards stepped back. My father ruled with it. The Leakin ruled me with it. You used it. He stopped in front of Marcus. She died for this, pack, Kale whispered. For me. Your alpha. He didn't kill them. That was what the beast would have done. He banished them. Exiled. Stripped of rank and power. He ruled as a man. He rebuilt. He listened to the Omegas. He tore down the old laws. He became the alpha his mother would have been proud of. The pack healed. Kale didn't. He stood one night on the ridge where this all began. The place he called her worthless. The wind blew. Cold. Empty. And it carried something. A scent. Rain and straw. And stars. It's grief. He whispered, closing his eyes. It's just a memory. But it wasn't. It was getting stronger. Chapter 21. The Star in the Clearing. He ran. His human legs burned. His human heart hammered against his ribs. Hope was a cruel poison. It was worse than any silver. But he couldn't stop. He ran all the way back to the ritual ground. The clearing was not empty. She was standing by the altar. Not the Alara of dirt and shame. Not the Alara of blood and sacrifice. She glowed. She wore a simple white dress. Her hair was loose. Her skin shone with a soft silver light. The scars on her hands from his claws were gone. And the mark on her neck, it wasn't a moon. It was a single 8-pointed star, pulsing with divine light. Alara, he breathed. It wasn't a name. It was a prayer. He was dreaming. He had died. She turned. Her eyes, her storm gray eyes, filled with life and love and tears. And mischief. You took your time, she whispered. Her voice was music. He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. I saw you die. I held you. You held what was broken, Alara said, taking a step toward him. The goddess answered. The curse was broken. My magic, my mother's line. It wasn't a curse, Kale. It was the cure. It just needed a true sacrifice to unlock it. But he gasped, clutching his chest. My wolf. My power. It's gone. I am nothing. No, she said, smiling that beautiful, heartbreaking smile. You are everything. You became the man she needed you to be. You became an alpha worth saving. She stopped right in front of him. She reached up. She placed her glowing hand over his heart. It was never gone, Kale, she whispered. It was just healed. It was waiting for me. He covered her hand with his light, warmth, power. It slammed into him. Not rage. Not a beast. His wolf. His soul. Whole. Pure. Strong. He roared. A sound of joy and triumph. The bond flared. Not red and cursed, but pure silver and gold. A true mating. A choice. He was back. They were back. Chapter 22. The Claiming of Choice. He was whole. The power, his soul, rushed back into him, not as a raging beast, but as a calm, deep ocean. It was his fully and completely. And it hummed, sang, in perfect harmony with the starlight radiating from the woman in front of him. Kale looked at Alara. Really looked at her. He saw the stable girl who had endured. The woman who had fought. The Luna who had sacrificed. The goddess who had returned. He was overwhelmed. He had come here as a monster. He had raged. He had hunted. He had taken. Now he had only one thing left to do. Kanal Draven. Alpha of the strongest pack in the north knelt. He dropped to one knee in the snow, on the very ground where she had died for him. He bowed his head, a gesture of submission, of surrender, he had never shown to any living being. Not his father. Not the elders. Not even the goddess. Only to her. Kale, what? Alara's voice was soft, confused. The divine light around her wavered. When I first saw you, he said, his voice raw, human, and shaking with an emotion he'd never allowed himself to feel. I was afraid. My beast, it knew you. It recognized you. And I hated it. I hated you for making me feel. He lifted his head. His eyes, His eyes, wolf and man, blazing, met hers. I was the fool. I was the weak one. I was terrified of this. He reached out, not to grab, not to take. He offered his hand, palm up. A question. An invitation. Ilara Dune, he said, his voice breaking. You are my life. You are my soul. You are my strength. She, her, hand, trembling, touched his. Sparks, not of pain, not of magic, but of pure completion, danced between their skin. The curse forced a bond, he whispered. Your love broke it. Now, he rose to his feet. He never broke eye contact. I ask you, freely, as a man, as your alpha, as Kale, will you be my mate? Will you be my Luna? Ilara's tears, silver, starlight tears, streamed down her face. She didn't just say yes. She launched herself into his arms. She crashed against his chest, wrapping her legs around him. And she kissed him. It was everything. Forgiveness. Passion. Home. He held her tight, lifting her off the ground, spinning her in the clearing. He broke the kiss only to rest his forehead against hers. You were never worthless, he breathed. And you were never a monster, she sobbed. The bond snapped into place. Permanent. Golden. Chosen. Chapter 23. The Silver Moon. When they walked back into the Great Hall, they walked together, hand in hand. The pack was gathered. They had heard his roar of joy. They were afraid, confused. They saw him, their alpha, human, strong, calm. And then they saw her. Ilara glowed. The divine light had softened into an aura. She wasn't just Ilara. She wasn't just a goddess. She was theirs. A gasp rippled through the crowd. Lyra was there. Finn, the ones who had tormented her. They looked terrified. Ilara let go of Kale's hand. She walked forward. Alone. She stopped in front of Lyra. Lyra couldn't meet her eyes. She was shaking. Luna. Lyra whispered, dropping into a low bow. I am sorry. Ilara reached out. She placed her hand under Lyra's chin and lifted it. We have had enough of shame, Ilara said, her voice not angry, not cold, warm. We have had enough of fear. This pack is not built on bloodlines or prophecies anymore. It is built on us, all of us. Rise. Lyra rose, tears in her eyes. I forgive you, Ilara said. And that was it. That was the moment. Kale watched his mate. His. Luna. She didn't rule with fear. She didn't rule with power. She ruled with grace. One by one, the pack members knelt. Not in submission, but in awe. In respect. They bowed to their true Luna. Kale walked to her side. He didn't kneel. He stood with her as an equal. He looked up through the great hall's skylight. The blood moon was gone. The curse was broken. The sky was clear. And the moon hung high and full. Pure, bright silver. Peace. Chapter 24. The Worth of a Smile. 6 months later, the pack was not the same. It was better. The old fortress, where she had been imprisoned, was torn down. In its place was a school, an orphanage, a home. Elara stood in the courtyard. Sunlight streamed down. The divine light had faded from her skin. She was just Elara, Luna, mate, woman. But the star on her neck remained. A tiny mark of who she was. A little Omega girl with matted hair and scared eyes cowered in the corner. She had just arrived. She refused to speak. Elara walked over. She didn't loom. She didn't command. She sat down, right there in the dust. Her simple blue dress getting dirty. She just sat quietly. And she waited. After a long time, she spoke. They used to call me names to Elara, said softly, not looking at the girl, just at the sky. They said I was worthless, that I was a curse. The little girl flinched. She looked at Elara. Was it true? The girl whispered. Her first word. Elara turned. She smiled. A smile so bright and full of warmth it chased away every shadow. What do you think? Elara asked. The girl looked at her. At her kind eyes. At the peace around her. No, the girl decided. Good, Elara said. She held out her hand. My name is Elara. What's yours? The girl took her hand. Far away on the ridge, Kale stood, watching. He wasn't needed. He wasn't protecting. He was just witnessing. He saw her smile. He saw her take the girl's hand. His heart, which had been stone for so long, felt so full it might burst. She hadn't just healed him. She had healed the world. He turned to go back to his work, a small smile on his own lips. Once she was called worthless. Now the moon itself bowed when she smiled.